Great. Well, good morning, everyone. Before the children go out, before we come to look at God's word, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be able to gather together as your people, to sing your praises, and to be able to do that in complete freedom. Lord, we pray this morning, whether we're young or old, whether we're staying in this meeting room here or going out to another room, we pray, Lord, that you would meet with each one of us, that we would hear your word as it is, the word of God, that we would have hearts that want to hear your voice to us today, and that we'd have hearts that know that your way is the blessed way, that your will for our lives is the good life. And we just pray now, Lord, that as we come to open your word, we'll pay attention, that would listen out to your voice to us. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be at power, powerfully at work in our lives. We pray, Lord, that our lives individually will be changed this morning, our families and this church. We pray, Lord, that you draw us close to you for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Great. I think this is where the children can go out, isn't it? Great. Well, it's great to be here this morning. I know some of these faces here, so it's great to see you. I hear you've had some problems with the heating. So somehow you've gone from the coldest church to like, this is like summer in here now, isn't it? I feel like I should have come with shorts and flip-flops. This is warm. But it's great to be with you. We're going to be looking at Luke's gospel this morning. Luke 15. Let me just check that this works. Yeah, that's great. Yep, so okay, I'm just checking your system now. I see how this works. Okay, so we're going to be looking at Luke 15 under the title of The Love of the Father. Now, I saw a news report a few years back, and it was about a man who had been found on a beach somewhere in the UK, and he didn't know where he had come from. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know who he was or where he was. If I was to ask you what you'd call that person, I think it'd be pretty obvious. He's lost. And as we come to look at this passage, this is going to be a big theme, but as we look at our world around us, I think we need to realize that the people around us generally are lost. They're like that man on the beach. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know that they've been created by God, they've been made by him. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know who they are. They don't know that they're made in the image of God, that they are precious in that way. They've not just evolved and come here by space dust hitting each other and gradually becoming this person, but they're made in the image of God. They're his. They're owned by him. They don't know who they are. And equally, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what lies beyond the grave for their eternity. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know where they're going. They don't know who they are. They are lost. And I think if there's one big sentence I'd like to leave with this morning, it's this, that God has a heart for the lost. That is why he came into this world, in the person of Jesus. He came on a rescue mission to win and to save the lost. He came and lived amongst us and spoke to us. And lived the life that we failed to live and died in our place for our sin and rose so that the lost could be found. Luke 19:10 says this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There's the heart of God. He is the friend of sinners. But there were people around Jesus who didn't have the same heart. And it says this about them. In Luke 15:1-2, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They grumbled and they complained about what Jesus was doing, what God in the flesh was doing. They did not have a heart for the lost. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand why he had come. They didn't understand why he was hanging around with these sinners. and they started to hate him and reject him. So Jesus starts to tell this parable. He starts to tell this story. And before I get into this story, I want to just say this, that a big theme, I think, within this is the call for people to come to their senses and realize that they are lost and they need to draw near to Jesus. So I want to ask you a question this morning about coming to your senses. Have you ever lost your senses? Have you ever fainted here? Hands up if you fainted. Okay. Is anyone brave enough to say why they fainted? Yeah? Oh dear. As hot as this or hotter? Hotter. Like, wow, that's something. Anyone else want to admit what they've, yeah? Wow. Oh dear. But you came round. Yeah. You've cut your back again now, yeah. Great. Fantastic. Yeah? One last one. Oh really? It was traumatic. Yeah. I've fainted a number of times now. One was an injection. When I was about 11. Another time was giving blood. Another time was when Laura was giving birth to our first baby. Obviously, I was going through the trauma at the time of that great experience. And it's a weird thing when you lose your senses, isn't it? That you just zone out. You're gone. And as we come to these two characters in the story that Jesus is going to tell, that we're going to realize that both of these characters, the younger son and the older son, both needed to come to their senses. And so I want to challenge you as we go through this. Who do you relate to? Do you relate to the older son or the younger son? Some of us are like the younger son. Luke 15, 11 to 13 says this. Jesus continued as he begins this story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The younger son wanted his father's blessings without the father. Essentially, what he was asking for here was a third of his inheritance. The oldest son would get two-thirds, and he was asking for his third. And it can sound very like formal, and we can easily read this and not realize how shocking this is. Essentially, as you read through this story, you realize that what this younger son is asking for is this: give me my inheritance. I'd rather you were dead and out of my life, and I have your possessions. That's what he's saying. The younger son wanted his father's blessings without his father being around. This is the position of many people in this world, that they want the blessings that God gives, but without him being in our lives. So they want to be able to enjoy their life on their terms, in their way, and use my body how I want to use my body, and not realize that these are gifts from God. They want God's blessings, my life, but without God in my life. The younger son wanted his father's blessings without his father in his life. It says that the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country. Sometimes we want to get away from people's eyes seeing our lives. This younger son wanted to live his life without his father watching over him. And sometimes we are like that younger son. That we want to get away from God. We want to get away from church. We want to get away from anyone looking over our life. We want to live life our way, on our terms, and do what we want. And I've got to confess that that is very much my story. I remember growing up in church, hearing sermon after sermon after sermon. And I just got to a certain point in my life. I remember being at university, and I thought, I'm not enjoying church. I want to get away from this. And I remember looking out the room of my student apartment, and there was a gravestone out my door, and I was like, out my window. I was like, this is so depressing. I've got to get away from this. And I found out that week that there was a student exchange that I could do from my university to Australia. And I was like, I'm doing it. I'm going. I'm leaving church. I'm going to get away from God. I'm going to get away from church and Christians. I'm going to head on the other side of the planet to live life my way, how I want to live. And so I took a loan. And I spent in rash living to live life my way. The younger son in this story wanted to indulge his every desire. He squandered what he had in wild living. And I did the same. I wanted to go out partying. I wanted to go out with have relationships. I wanted to do what I wanted to do and live life my way. Live with God's blessings, but without God. I wonder if you relate to this story. But God sees and knows what we do. Proverbs 15:3 says this, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere." And just like the prophet Jonah, when he ran away from the Lord, he couldn't run away from God's presence, could he? Because God is ever present. And he sees all and he knows all. The younger son was lost in the consequences of sin. So not only was he lost in open sin, he was lost in the consequences of sin. It says this in verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Here he was now, this younger son, in the consequences, living in the consequences of his sin, living in the consequences of living life his own way without his father. There are consequences to how we make decisions, aren't there? There's consequences to the decisions we make about God and what we're going to do with our lives. Our decisions have consequences. That day that I decided to give blood, I decided in the morning to have no breakfast. And that had consequences. I fainted. The day I went to the birth of our firstborn baby and decided not to have breakfast had consequences. There are consequences to our decisions. There are consequences when we decide, I don't want God in my life, I want to live life my way. There are consequences. And the younger son was living with the consequences now of bad decisions. Before this story of these two sons, Jesus had just told the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And like the lost sheep, this younger son now is in danger. And like the lost coin, he is lost and needs to be found. He is precious, but he's lost. And like that lost coin, he's spent all his coins now, and he's completely lost. The younger son was now being humbled. He was in the low of the low. For a Jew, pigs were unclean. To work with pigs and to work for pigs, basically, to be feeding them, was shameful. It was unclean. This is the low of the low. He's being humbled because of his running away. Here's the thing for us. Sometimes when we run away from the Lord, we want freedom. We want to live life our way. But it's not freedom to live our way. It's not freedom to live without God's commandments. It's not freedom to live without God's will for our lives. I've used this illustration a million times, but I think it's a helpful one. That boundaries and laws and commandments are not restrictive on our freedom. God's commandments. If you go to the zoo this week, we go to the zoo quite a lot as a family, but if you went there and you walked through the zoo and you're like, this is so annoying, there's so many fences up here. Like, can they just get rid of all these fences and all these cages? This is so restricting my freedom to see these animals. You're like, no, These are here for your safety. These are for your freedom so that you can enjoy this experience. That God's commandments and his will for our lives is not to restrict us, but to give us freedom and joy in this life and for all eternity. The younger son here, like us, is now feeling the consequences of trying to live life his way without his father. How many of us have done that? How many of you are in that now? And you're starting to live life your way and you're grasping after freedom and now you're feeling the consequences. And he is feeling the consequences, isn't he? Says this in verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He was feeling his low position. But let me say this. He is at this stage not a picture of someone who feels their sin. He's sorrowful, not over his sin, but over his situation. And let me say this as well. Ecclesiastes 11:14. Let me just put this up here. Did I put it here? No, I didn't. Let's go back again. Ecclesiastes 1:14 says this. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. These are the words of King Solomon. In a stage where he's reflecting on times where he's lived life his way, and he says that it's like a chasing after the wind. Trying to live the free life my way without God is like a chasing after the wind. Have you ever seen children, in fact, I thought about it, as you announce your kids' work, the Bubbles group. And I remember that because many years ago, I got asked to do a little leaflet for that, a design one, because I was a graphic designer. And so my eldest child, I think, was on the picture of that. It was a little baby with bubbles around it. And as I think about that picture, it kind of pictures in many ways what we're like in chasing after life, our way without God. Because if you've seen a little baby, a toddler, around bubbles, they're like, oh, that looks amazing. Oh, it's gone. There's nothing there. I want to live life my way without God. Oh, there's nothing there. I want to pursue relationships just like everyone else does in the world. Oh, there's nothing there. I want to take this substance because that's going to make me feel really good. There's nothing there. And God's word tells us if we try and pursue life our way on our terms without the Lord, it's like chasing after the wind, looking for satisfaction but never finding it. This is the younger son's story. Is this your story? He finds himself in this low position, sorrowful, but not over his sin, but over his situation. The younger son was lost in open sin. He was lost in the consequences of sin. The younger son needs to come to his senses. Luke 15:17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. He started to come to his senses. As you think about your experiences, as all those people who have fainted here, of coming to your senses, it's a very strange experience, isn't it? I remember the time after having my injection and then fainting, when I was a boy, I remember coming round to someone speaking to me and slapping me around the face. It's like, it kind of worked, I came round. I remember the time when I gave blood and I'd fainted and I started to come round for my senses and a nurse was yelling at me, telling me that I'd got up too early. And so I entered into this discussion and disagreement. It was a strange experience. And then there was a time when I fainted at the birth of our firstborn child. I'm ashamed of this one. Sorry about that. But as I came round to the noise of an alarm going off and voices, and I thought something was happening with Laura, but it was actually them rushing towards me and saying, would you like a cup of tea? That'd be great. Thank you. It's kind of embarrassing. But here's the younger son now, and he's coming to his senses. Are you coming to your senses? When you come to your senses, this question comes in your mind when you come out of being of fainting. It's this, what is going on? What am I doing? Where am I? And this is the situation that he's now in. This younger son, he's coming to his senses. He's going, what am I doing? My father's hired servants are better off at home than I am. Here I am feeding pigs. I'd be way better off back with my father. And he starts to come to his senses. Are you starting to come to your senses and realizing life without God is not good? Life without God's word in my life is not good. Life without God's people around me is not good. The younger son's past now pained him. He started to think back to where he was and where his family were and where the workers were, and thinking, that was so much better. What am I doing? And his future feared him. He looks to his future and thought, this is going to be disaster. There's this famine. I'm hungry. I'm dying. His future feared him. Are you like that now? Your past is paining you. Why didn't I just stay where I was? Why didn't I just stay closer to the Lord? Is your future now fearing you? Where am I with the Lord? Am I headed for heaven? Where am I? But then the younger son, his hope helped him. He started to think, if I go back to my father, I've got hope. What a reminder that is for us this morning. If you're lost, if you've drifted, if you're far from the Lord, this is the Lord's reminder of the step forward. You know you're coming to your senses when you realize this thought, I'd be better off if I drew near to the Father. Are you coming to your senses like the younger son? The younger son came to his senses. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The younger son came to his senses, and now he was experiencing the loving welcome of his father. His father lovingly saw him from a distance and felt compassion. What a picture that is of God. He sees from a distance those who are starting to turn to him, just a tiny bit. I've got an old friend who I've lost contact with, and I have been trying now over years to contact him. I don't know what the situation is with him, but I keep messaging him on different platforms and keep messaging and keep messaging and keep messaging. Because I long to have that contact back again. I long to know where he is with the Lord. I want to see him close to the Lord, and I want to know that that is what his situation is, but I hear nothing. I don't know what's gone on. But all I'm waiting for is I look at my phone, and there's three little dots. Three little dots. Oh, someone's typing. Someone's responding. And our Heavenly Father is like that with us. When we're far from him, when we're drifting from him, and we just start to turn, he sees us from a great distance and he starts to welcome us. He's not standing afar off going, no, I'm going to wait and see how good that prayer is. I'm going to wait and see how good his repentance is. I'm going to wait and see how good he clears up his life. No, he's looking for that turn, that inkling. I want to turn back to my Father. What a reminder that is for us this morning. Perhaps you've been putting off turning back to the Lord, and you think, well, I am so sinful. I've done such terrible things in my mind, in my life, in my family, things that no one knows about. And you perhaps think that God is going to be reluctant to forgive you. Here's the picture of the Father. The Father runs. And in that time, a man of that status, of a family, to run was an undignified thing to do. But here he is running. God is like that. He will run to you. He will welcome you back. His Father showed his love. He ran and embraced and kissed him. He was not restrained in his forgiveness and welcomed this lost son. I found this quote, and I don't know who it's from. It's an anonymous quote, but I liked it. It says this: slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. Slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. That's what we see in this story. That's what we see in this story, that our Lord Jesus taught about his Father's love for those who are lost. And his Father clothed him. He put the best robe on him, which is a mark of honor. He put a ring on his finger, a sign of receiving a place of authority back in the family again. And he was given sandals or shoes, which were not the thing that a slave or a servant would wear generally. This would be a picture of being welcomed back into the family. He clothed him generously. That's what the Father does for us in Jesus. When we turn to Jesus from our sinful, lost, wandering days, he clothes us in the perfection of Jesus. That Jesus, who is God living in human flesh, he came into this world, lived the life that we failed to live. He never ran from his Father. He perfectly obeyed. And when he died on the cross, he died in our place for our sin. And then he rose conquering death and sin. And for those who come to him, we are washed of our sin and we're clothed in his righteousness. We're clothed in his honor and his perfection, so that we can stand before God, not guilty, but perfect. That when God looks at a Christian, someone who's come back to the Lord and asked to be forgiven and given new life, he sees Jesus in his perfection. What a confidence that is for death, for judgment day, to know that it's not on me, it's riding on Jesus' perfection. It says this in Luke 15:10, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That another picture, that in heaven, God rejoices when one sinner turns to him. Perhaps you're that person this morning that can bring a celebration in heaven by just turning to Jesus and asking to be forgiven and given new life. Have you done that? Are you like the lost son, this younger son? But some of us are like the younger son. Some of us are like the older son. People who don't know they're lost. I remember driving through Kings North. We live in Kings North, past the church there, and was in the car. And then one of the children said, as they pointed out the window at something that was hanging on a fence, they said, "Isn't that Judah's hat?" Judah being one of our children, and we're like, "Do you know what that is?" And so we stopped the car and we found the hat, which we didn't know was lost. And it was like, we didn't know it was lost, but we found it. And for some people, they are lost, but they don't know it. The younger son knew he was lost. The older son did not know he was lost. It says this about him in Luke 15. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied. and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. The older son was lost in a hidden sin. A hidden sin of self-righteousness. The younger son received the love of his father as a gift he did not deserve. The older son thought he deserved his father's love because he thought he had earned it through his obedience. Let me read that again. The younger son received the love of the father as a gift he did not deserve. The older son thought he deserved his father's love because he thought he had earned it through his obedience. Are you like this? The older son always aimed to do what he was told. The older son looked down on those who were reckless and now repentant. The older son felt bitter because of God's grace to the reckless. He did not understand the grace of God. I remember as a teenager growing up in church, a teenager who had tried to toe the line, okay, tried to be obedient outwardly. And then I heard news of other people in church life who had been reckless. And now they'd turned back to the Lord. And do you know what I felt like? I felt bitter. It's like, how have they got away with that? I want to do that, but I'm not doing that. I want to do what they're doing, but I'm not doing it. And now they're forgiven. I didn't understand the grace of God. You see, some are lost and far from home. Some are lost while still at home. Some are rebellious sinners, and some are respectable sinners. Some are lost in our disobedience. Some are lost in our obedience. Some are lost in the world, and some are lost in the church. Have you considered the fact that you may be a Bible reading, church attending, good person who is not a Christian? Because your mind is focused on earning God's love rather than receiving his love as a gift. This is something to hear for those especially who've grown up in church. Because you can have this mind of, well, I've always come, I've always read my Bible, I've always prayed. But have you received the forgiveness and new life that Jesus gives you freely? Not because you've been good, but because you've been bad. Because you have not lived up to God's standard. You are imperfect. And the only standard for heaven is perfection. And you failed, like everyone's failed. Like I've failed and you've failed. And the only way of salvation is through Jesus. Some are rebellious sinners and some are respectable sinners. Are you a respectable sinner here? That you're church going, Bible reading, praying, person who's never come to Jesus, never given your life to him, never experienced the love of Jesus and the new life he gives you, never been able to share your testimony because you haven't got a story, never been able to show that in practice in baptism because it hasn't happened internally. And you're like the older son, who has not understood or come to know the grace of his father. The older son has not yet come to his senses. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Do you realize who this is directed to in the story? Jesus is talking here really to the Pharisees around him. Those who thought they were the ones in God's kingdom, but were not. Those who looked down on the outcasts, the sinners, the tax collectors who Jesus was hanging around with, But listen to this. This is an invitation from our Lord Jesus to the Pharisees, to the self-righteous, to the church-going people who have never become Christians. It's a gentle invitation to those who are the obedient ones, the ones who have not drifted from church, the ones who do what their parents tell them. But you need to come to Jesus too and stop trying to earn your way to heaven and instead receive God's love as a gift. Have you understood that? As your church-growing person who's very familiar with all this, have you actually come to Jesus and asked him to forgive you and give you new life? Today's the day to do that. You can just do it. You can ask him to come into your life and, wow, the Father will run to me and I'll be forgiven and I know where I'm heading in eternity. I know where I've come from. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know that I'm made by God. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm going to be in God's family in heaven forever. Found. I remember as I came round after fainting on one of the occasions from the injection, and I was being slapped around the face. Is this morning that little slap around the face? Wake up. How on earth do you think you're going to get right with God by just coming to church? Just sitting there each week. Well, I've done it again this week. Ticked it off. Another day done. Another week done. Another year done. Another decade done. Another lifetime. Oh, it's gone. It's a slap. Come to your senses. Come to the Lord. Ephesians 5:14 says this, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." There is nothing better than to be found by our Lord Jesus. I want to really encourage you this morning, because I think sometimes it's easy to end a message, pack up, go home, and be like the older son, back home again. Today is the day of salvation. If you have not done that, today is the day to come to Jesus. And if you've got questions, ask God. And there's other people here to talk to too. So speak to Malcolm or myself or anyone else you feel comfortable. Ask the questions that you have. Ask the embarrassing questions that you've not ever asked. Whatever it is, you need to come to know Jesus and be found. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder we have in your word that you are such a forgiving God, that you welcome those who turn back to you, whether we're lost far from you or lost at home, whether we're lost in the world or lost in the church. We pray, Lord, that you would bring each one of us to our senses, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, that we'd draw near to you and that you would draw near to us. And Lord, we pray especially for anyone in this room who has yet not come to know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, that your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work in their life. You would open their eyes and their ears and their heart to you, and that they would be sharing their testimony in this church in the coming weeks because of what you have done for them. Lord, we thank you that you are the friend of sinners. We thank you that our salvation is not resting on our obedience, but on the obedience of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that we have eternity to look forward to in heaven, to be found and in your kingdom and in your fold, not because what we have done, but by what you have done for us. Lord, we pray now that you would just really embed these truths into our hearts, that we wouldn't have hearts that want to drift from you or run from you, but instead we'd have a heart that wants to run to you and to keep in step with the Spirit. We pray this for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen.